Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to our show today. I just got to say it, what 3 seconds can do. It's like waiting at a stoplight.
It is.
Welcome to our show. Welcome to our show. Johnny, how you doing today? My co-host, Johnny Hernandez.
I'm fantastic, Daniel. Thanks. Actually, I'm awesome.
All right. Well, you know, we have an exciting series over the next 15 weeks or so. We're going to be kind of diving into an article Johnny came across and sent over to me called The 15 Diseases of Leadership, according to Pope Francis. Now, we all know that Pope Francis has probably been one of the most progressive popes that ever existed in terms of the way that he operates, the way he leads the church, the way he sees the world is very much in line with the laws of love, which Jesus and Buddha both taught, and I'm sure many other great teachers did too, and that is love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, and recognizing where we fit in this grand universe, where we fit and where we should see ourselves. You know, because at the end of the day, if you were to take flight and you get to 30,000 feet, and you look down upon the earth, everything is really small. Cities become very dots. And really, when you think about this grand big universe of ours, we are just a dot in this grand scheme of life. And yet at the same time, with a whole lot of ability and power to create, serve, and be who we want to be in this wonderful world. And so today's topic, number one of these 15 diseases that Johnny and I are going to talk about, is the disease of thinking. Now think about this. The disease of thinking that we are immortal, immune, or darn right indispensable. And when we think about business today, and we think about ego today, and I'm just going to throw it out there, pompous leaders today, they have this disease of thinking that they're immortal, immune, and downright indispensable. And he goes on to say in the first article, if you don't believe me, go to the cemetery and see how many people or leaders are there. They weren't immortal, though they may have thought they were. Johnny, what's your this is an interesting topic.
I love this article. So I guess I think it's a good lesson for any of the listeners out there. This article actually was sent to us, actually, ironically, by my brother. And please, I mean, and if nothing else, this is just a commercial, just the fact that how much we enjoy engaging with the listeners and those folks who can put things like this in front of us. This is, Daniel and I were talking about it. When I first shared this article with Daniel, we were in a casual conversation. We said, you know what, there's about 10 different shows, 15 different shows right here in this article. And why reinvent the wheel? But as you talk about, you know, the whole 30,000-foot view, one of the things that I think it rings true, regardless whether it's business or personal, I think this article does beautifully, is that there's three conditions for us being on this earth. And regardless spiritually what you believe, they are to give to others, they are to love others, and they are to forgive or pardon others. And if you can do those three things, and through everything you do in life, you push through that filter, you're going to be okay. And I think the Pope does a beautiful job of articulating how from a spiritual and business end of it, without ever one moment stopping and think, well, this sounds very, quote-unquote, popish or very spiritual.
Right, right.
Not by any means, right? It sounds like it's coming from one of the greatest CEOs to ever walk the planet. And when in fact happening, it goes back to a show that we did a few weeks ago around God. And it's not crossing that line. It's going back to you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And when you talk about leaders who are indispensable, who feel like they are, you know, the organization or the company they work for couldn't function without them, whether they're a Fortune 50 company or whether they're a small organization. I would tell you, me personally, I am very, very forthright, and I'd like to believe, if you speak to anyone who's ever supported me throughout my career, in saying that I virtually could do nothing on my own. I'll tell you what, if I can read my email, that's a good day for me. And
he's telling the truth.
Right on, right? I surround myself, and that's what I've been so fortunate about. I've surrounded myself with some of the most amazing men and women on the planet. And when you go and you try to collect a diversity of talent, whether in race, ethnicity, you name it, and you allow people to really flourish, oh, my gosh. You know the neat thing about it is they all make me look good. No matter how much credit I give them, positive things keep coming my way. So the old guard of thinking that my behavior is beyond reproach, especially in a world today that so much of it, those organizations that are controlled by, and I do say controlled, by Wall Street, in Wall Street's view, when it comes earnings release time, there's no one safe in any major organization today. You know, unless you're private and unless you're the CEO. And if you have that perception of yourself, then it's only a matter of time, because today's generation, now more than ever, they're not going to work for people like that. They don't have the talent for it, nor should they. There's too many other great places and great leaders to work for.
You know, I got to read, you know, this part, and we're going to dissect this sentence by sentence, because it's so powerful what this Gary Hamel, who was a reporter for the Harvard Review, he writes, a leadership team which is not self-critical, which does not keep up with things, which does not seek to be more fit, is a sick body. And you might as well add somebody to the front of that. Because as Johnny was saying a minute ago, if you think you do this by yourself, there's an old saying, and I don't know why I got this. Someone sent this to me one day, Johnny, and I had to really think of what they were trying to say to me. but it's an old saying that goes, if you think you're a leader and nobody's following, you're just on a very long walk.
That's right.
Yeah, and I got that and thought, what are you trying to say? You know, but at the end of the day, what we're saying here is that if you're not up to speed, self-critical as an organizational body, I mean, folks, the last recession proved that some of the biggest companies in the world, they're gone. The companies that we grew up with thinking that would never disappear are gone. And they're gone because they failed to be self-critical. They failed to keep up with what was going on in the world. And even more importantly, they failed to stay fit with what it requires in a global environment in today's world. And so this goes for the small business owner all the way to the major corporation. Johnny and I had this conversation recently about a very major company out in the marketplace today, and you would never think in your right mind that this could be going on, but it is. That there are companies out there that still don't get it. They still are doing business the way we did 50 years ago. They're not putting people first. They're putting money first or cognitive processes first, rather than understanding the diversity and the inclusion of the workplace to match the diversity and inclusion of the customer. And so this part of what I think Pope Francis was saying was, if you're not keeping up with the times, and again, I'll go back to what I said when we first started, probably, and I'll be honest with you, I don't follow popes. I follow this one, though. I follow this one, though, because every time he opens his mouth, I think his cardinals are going, what? You want me to wash feet? What's wrong with you, right? You know, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It causes introspective thinking within the organization, but let's take it down to the individual person, which is something that Johnny and I both love to do when we're coaching executives or individuals or small businesses. No matter what the business is doing, in order for the business to progress, in order for the business to evolve, there must be introspective thinking and introspective understanding of the individual at the helm. And if that doesn't happen, then the rest of the body, as this article was saying, is sick. Isn't that right, Johnny?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Daniel. And I think that as you were just referring to, I think another way to look at it is the lack of humility that resides in organizations today will ultimately be the disease that drowns them. I mean, that's just a fact of it. And if you know, you hear organizations, you think about Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon. You know, he made a, I was reading an interview about him not too long ago, and he made the comment. He said, "Let me be very clear. No matter how big, audacious, and amazing Amazon is today, it has a shelf life, and Amazon won't be around forever." And he was very articulate in stating that, you know, my job is to make sure that my leadership, my team, et cetera, is one open-minded, willing to change, and on the front end, of that. Because as soon as we start sensing that we are unbeatable, or that there is no one out there, or there is no one coming that's as good, if not greater, he says that's when we begin to go away. And there's nothing more true than that. And you see it as organizations. You see it in the life cycle of a lot of these organizations. I was reading the LA Business Journal last night, and it was the Billionaire Club for the Angelinos. And it was talking about the shift in those companies that used to represent those folks that were billionaires and what industries they came from, where it was typically real estate, it was the financial sector, et cetera, et cetera. And now literally in the period of a year, over 20% of that group is represented by tech and how that continues to grow and grow and grow. What's fascinating, what's amazing about tech is you take a look at the young men who began Snapchat. And I think they're 24 and 26 years old. They're both billionaires already. You look at their pictures, literally, it's like looking at my children. They're younger than my children, the same age as my kids. It baffles me. But when you read interviews with these young men and these women, they're very open. They're saying, well, this is short-lived. We've got to just understand that if we're not always not just refreshing the work and the things that we deliver to the customer or the client, but if we're not doing things to make ourselves that much stronger, that much more intelligent, that much more cutting edge, we're going to be gone as fast as we came into the scene. So you used the language before about, you know, the old men or the legacy type leadership. These young men and women coming today, they're, for the most part, they're not thinking like that. They know coming out of the gate that there's a shelf life to their leadership and their organization unless they're always evolving. And that's just so refreshing to hear.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we suffer from that in our Senate, in our country, where we have the same leadership for 20, 30, 40 years. And it doesn't make any sense. Decades and decades and decades of leadership. We used to think that that kind of leadership showed wisdom and power. But what we're finding is it shows lack of forward movement, lack of innovative ideas, which is why the young people – I mean, Johnny, when you and I were in the workplace, or at least when I was younger, you know, to get a job was to stay for 20, 30 years, get a pension, get your benefits, and that was just the way it was. So that means that no matter what position we were in, we were there for a long, long time. Today, and because I work and you work with big companies, we recognize that, and mind you that if you had, when I was hiring and you jumped around, you weren't hired. It didn't show any stability. In today's marketplace, young people are changing or moving every 2 years.
Yep.
They're absolutely moving, and it's acceptable. And if you're now today, when you look at a resume that has someone that stayed for too long, you think, what's wrong with them? You
know?
It's like, what's wrong with them, right? And so that this whole idea that we're not immortal, immune, or darn right indispensable is something we really have to take a look at. We really need to look at this craziness. And I think, as you said, you know, and I think that's just a sign of getting older, Johnny. I mean, my doctors seem, I look at them and wonder how old they are, you know. How old are you, you know? And I think part of that is that I'm glad to see the young people that are coming up take on a different persona. I'm glad that they're willing to stand up and say, you know, we need new leadership. However, that does not stand separate from the wisdom of your elders. The wisdom of your elders, and maybe I'm becoming or am one of those people, is supposed to be in conjunction, hand in hand, with new ideas. So it takes both the young people's openness to accept leadership from people that are more seasoned and higher levels of understanding and wisdom, as well as it is for our seasoned board members, chair people, and C-suite level people to be open to new ideas, and which is the reason why Johnny and I got in this conversation the other day about a big company that really was not seeing the benefit of understanding the idea of soft skills in the workplace, soft skills being those things that are intangible in the workplace, understanding love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, these things that are inherent in our humanness that must shine through in the workplace, whether it is spoken or unspoken. It is the law or the way of our humanness. It does not escape us in any way, shape, or form. People who have the mindset that they're indispensable are ego-minded, narcissistic in their thinking. And inevitably, I know one person in particular and that's coming to mind that thought he was invincible. Well, today he doesn't have a job. And he was at the high levels of a corporate company that he thought he would never fall. I mean, I'm sure, Johnny, there's probably many leaders in our history that have had the same mindset.
Well, and what's amazing is when it happens, they're absolutely surprised. They're blown away.
Yeah, they're the last ones to know.
Right, and then rather than stop and do some self-reflection and try to determine what part of this situation am I responsible for, instead what they do is they jump on social media, they try to get on every PR venue they possibly can to talk about how they were wrong. And so I think when you talk about, you know, lack of humility, you talk about, you know, the ego that plays so strongly into some of these leaders. And I was having a conversation with my dear friend Lemonois yesterday, the day before, and he was talking.
He was on our show, three, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, we got to get him back. What a rich dialogue every time you talk to him. Just the work he does with in the diversity space and with the United Nations and that. But he was talking about there's a couple states, the largest fracking states in the country today have apparently passed laws that said that they would override or the state law would supersede any county or city laws that prohibited fracking. And here's what's interesting. Now, I didn't know this, nor have I validated it, but I trust this guy with all my heart. Moonwah actually said that in those two particular states that there's been more earthquakes in those two states since the fracking began than the state of California during this same time frame. And when you stop and you reflect, well, why in the world would they say that even if you want to stop fracking, you can't? Well, there's only one answer to that. It's all about money. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we lead with thought processes that are like that, in this case, Mother Earth is the one that's suffering, and eventually it will be us, right? If not this generation, a future generation. But ultimately, in the end, when you are led as a leader, and this is what's scary about it, it's almost like the frog in the boiling water syndrome. The longer that you function in this environment, what is it that Bishop Shelton said one time? He says, if you don't behave like you believe, you will soon believe as you behave. And I think about that, if you sit in that and let it digest for a moment, when you are in these environments and you're surrounded by people that are similar, even if you go into the environment and you don't think that way, you will become a product of that environment and you will start believing that. So when you're thinking about the organizations that are out there today, the organizations that you're aspiring to, whether you're in college, going through job transition, I would tell you that it's worth the research to find out, because every company says they're values-based. Every organization says that they live by a strong set of morals, a strong set of ethics. And I don't believe that any company, for the most part, I need to say this, intentionally goes out to be manipulative or lead in a malicious way. I do, however, believe, right? I do, however, you're right. I believe, though, that the filter that they make their decisions through sometimes can be absent of certain values. So when it comes to the almighty dollar, that how does that affect the people? Well, that's not thought of until third, fourth, fifth click down the line. And I think that's where the risk, and that's where you run into the gaps in humility. That's when the egos come into it. And then when you get a large group of leaders that think common like that is when you run into organizational problems. And you were saying something earlier when you talked about the about wisdom coming with age. I don't know, because I'm obviously much, much, much younger than you, Daniel.
Okay.
Right.
He likes telling jokes.
Right. But, you know, the smartest buildings in our country are the nursing homes. And you look at the wisdom of the folks who actually have the life experience to have the dialogue, and you marry that up with this young generation coming out that literally has so much less fear. You said it. We were brought up. I mean, I was brought up that, you know, my father, we grew up. My grandparents came from Mexico. We grew up that my dad was adamant. He says, you get a job, you go to work every day, you show up, you're never late, you never complain, you never ask for a raise, and you're always gracious. That's what you do. When you do that, life will take care of itself. You'll be promoted. You'll get the money. You'll get all these other things, right? And it's so crazy. It took me, Dad passed away, you know, back 14 years ago now. And I think back, it's like, oh, my gosh, if Dad were alive now, he'd be shocked to see that that's not the case at all, Daniel. Matter of fact, not at all. And they're actually teaching us in college. I've said this before. They're teaching a lot of the colleges are teaching our students that come 18 months in any role, you really need to evaluate yourself if financially and from a job status perspective, if you're moving vertically in a way that's going to get you to where you want to be at a younger age. And if you're not, you need to start looking. You never stop looking. I had an executive tell me one time who was a very, very sharp executive, and I have nothing but respect for him. He's a really cool cat. And we were talking about tenure with this very thing, because he just joined a company and he'd been with this particular company for, about a year, maybe a little more, and he was leaving. Now, remember, he was top three in the organization. I'll leave it at that because I don't want to lead potentially who it was. But he was top three in this company, and he was leaving. And I said, so why did you decide to leave? And he kind of smiled at me, and he says, I guess I don't understand the question. So I get the bigger title, and he says, the reality is this. He says, you always have to be moving. He says, the days of loyalty to any organization, and he says, make no mistake. He says, loyalty is something that we all aspire to. There's nothing wrong with loving an organization, loving the people you work with. That's not what he was talking about, and that's certainly not what I'm talking about or what I would approve or what I would bless, because I don't think there's any replacement for working in an environment that you love with people you love. I think there's trade-offs. His point was that he never stops looking and waiting for the next big opportunity. The only thing you miss out on that, though, is when you're only somewhere for 6 months to a year, you miss out on the opportunity to build those relationships and become really truly part of or embedded in an organization. But the reality is, that's where we are. And you have to go into this being cognizant of that. But I would say that for the companies out there, my advice is this. Is take a really good hard look at your leadership. Take a really good hard look at your people's perception of leadership, because you don't have to look far past your engagement and your retention scores to find out how well they believe that you're leading them and whether or not they're buying into your vision. From an employee perspective, I would say take a really good look. Do the exact opposite. Are you truly happy? Do you work in a values-based environment? And here's the other thing is, what is your role in all of it? Because an organization is not a company logo. An organization is the people that support it and that work in it, and we're all part of that, whether we're a company of three or a company of 300,000.
Yeah, so it's amazing where our marketplace is today and where it was, and it's supposed to be that way, evolving, but it's moving really rapidly. The article goes on to say, for this first disease, it has an anecdote for the plague. For this plague, he says, humility is the key to understand that I am merely a servant. I'm quoting the article now. I am merely a servant. I have only done what was my duty. And when we think about that, and I've often said, and I learned this many, many years ago in a seminar that I was taking, that our monetary success, now you can put company in here, corporation, or the corporation's success, is in direct proportion to my service to mankind. if you're not making, if you're a small business and you're not making enough money, you got to reevaluate who you're serving. A lot of times we serve ourselves. We think that we are putting out the right product because we think it's a good idea. Not necessarily it's a good idea that the customer needs it. There are many people that have written books and created CDs and videos that thought they were great ideas, and they're piled up in the garages because it was an egotistical decision. It was not coming from a servant mindset. And so if you're looking at your business, your corporation, your, you know, whatever it may be, and you ask yourself that question and understand that quote, that my monetary success of my business, corporation, or self is in direct proportion to my service to mankind, where is then the focus of my service? And this is what this is talking about, humility. You know, I looked up humility to see what it meant. You know, Johnny was talking about humility. And one of the answers is having a clear perspective and respect for one's place in context, lowering oneself in relation to others. And I don't know that we're talking about being doormats here. That's not what we're talking about here. It's about being able – what was the name, Johnny? Do you remember the guy that we talked about a couple shows back in Seattle or up in Washington that gave everybody a raise, $75,000 raise?
No, I know exactly who you're talking about.
But you know who I'm talking about, right?
Yep,
that is
yep.
The kind of guy we're talking about. The kind of guy that says, I really don't need – $1.7 million or whatever it was he was being paid, could have been $5 million. But I know my people do. And the only reason – I never even thought about having this kind of money, but they did it because if something happened to me, they'd have to go out and hire someone else. But I realized then we weren't taking care of our people. And so he turned around and gave all this money away. That's what we're talking about is having the attitude, am I here to serve? And I'm not talking in a religious sense, and at the same time I am, in a spiritual sense, that if you have that mindset that your business, corporation, your segment of your company will prosper if you can keep that in mind. You know, and so there's an old Chinese proverb, and you've heard me say this before on the show, that goes, if you drink a bowl of tea – when I drink a bowl of tea, I stop a war. When I drink a bowl of tea, I stop a war, which means that when I take care of whatever's in my backyard first, collectively, as the collective consciousness of the world, we begin to make great movement towards the idea of compassion, understanding, love, the laws of love, which we started the show with, Buddha and Jesus taught. The laws of love, of understanding, compassion, and really take a look at that and recognize that we're only as good as the people we hire. We're only as good as the people that are in our organizations. Then we will see not only a huge shift in our globe, but a huge shift in our businesses. So, Johnny, we're out of time. Anything really quick before we go?
Nope. Actually, what I did, Daniel, is I'm taking that article and I'm reposting it again to my Twitter as well as,
yes, so am I.
As our website. So anyone that's missed out on it, check out our websites, Living with
Purpose. Social media.
Today. Yep, on social media, and check it out. It's a great article.
All right, folks, have a beautiful, blessed day. Make sure you catch us next week. We're not even going to tell you what the next one is, but we're going to go to the next disease, and we're going to talk about that. And over the next 15 weeks, 10 or 15 weeks, we're going to really dive into what we think was a brilliant interview. And go to our social media. You'll find the article there so you can follow us. And hopefully you'll call in to 347-677-1965 and join us in this conversation. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.